Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Revival Radio. Don't touch that dial. We're so glad you could join us today. We're an outreach of Revival Christian Fellowship located in Menifee, California. And today, Pastor John Miller continues our study in the historical book of Joshua called Courageous Christian Living. The Jordan River is behind them, and the fortified city of Jericho is before them. Now, God is going to prepare the nation of Israel for battle. The Lord told Joshua, "Choose 12 men to take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight." Why did God instruct them to pile up these stones? Pastor John answers this question today in our study of Joshua chapter 4. Let's join him right now with the message, "Preparing for the Conquest."
It was A.W. Tozer that said, "The Christian life is not a playground, it is a battleground." And certainly that is true for Israel, as it is true for every Christian. Israel now, with the Jordan behind them, the rivers had gone back closed, and the fortress city of Jericho before them, they are now on battleground. And you would think that at this time, Joshua would say to all the mighty men of Israel, "Pull out your swords, get them ready. We're going to go take the city of Joshua." But yet there were things that needed to be done in their lives to prepare them for the battle that lie before them. Do you know that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not our ways, and God's timing is not our timing? I don't know how many times I've prayed, and "Lord, I pray that you'll do this, and Lord, I need you here." And guess what? God didn't do what I told him to do. You ever found that to be true? It's like, "God, are you listening? God, do you know what's going on? Did you know that I needed the money yesterday? God, what are you doing?" And in that still small voice, God will always speak and say, "John, I am God. I am on the throne. I am in control. Trust me." "Yeah, yeah, that's easy for you to say. You're God, you're in heaven, but I'm down here. I got to pay the bills." I wrestle with God just like you do. It's like, "Lord, where are you? What are you doing? Why haven't you answered prayer?" Many times as we face our battles, God has to first work in our hearts. And the lesson that we're going to learn today in these sections of Joshua is that God is more concerned about who we are than in what we do. Write that down. Don't forget that. What we do is important, but who we are is even more important. And what we do has to come from who we are, a godly man, a godly woman, godly character. And so God is going to prepare the nation of Israel for battle. In chapter 3, we saw the people sanctified. We saw Joshua had been magnified. We saw the Lord was glorified and the word of God was verified. But now they are going to deal with a city that is fortified, and Joshua needs the Lord's help in preparing the nation for battle. And I think that the same elements that God gave to the nation are important for us. God wants to prepare us for battle. Someone said, "Be kind to everyone you meet," because we're all facing battles. I believe that. Everybody you meet, everyone in this sanctuary is facing a battle of some kind, some way. Let's be kind to one another. Let's pray for one another. Let's encourage one another. And I believe that God wants us to be prepared as Israel to face our battles. There are three things that I want to point out that prepared them for this battle. The same three things prepare you and I for the battles that we face in life. If you're taking notes, you can write them down. Number one, write this down. Remember God's past faithfulness. Remember God's past faithfulness. This is so important. We so easily forget what God has done for us in the past. I want to pick it up in chapter 4, verse 19, and you follow with me as I read. In verse 19, "The people came out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border at Jericho." Now, the first day of the 10th month, or excuse me, the 10th day of the first month is the 10th of Nisan, which is our April, May, or March, April, excuse me. And so this was when the Passover would take place. Notice verse 20, "And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal." Now I'm going to come back to that and explain that. "And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask the fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall say to your children, let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before until you passed over, as the Lord your God did in the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we had gone over. That, verse 24, all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you might fear the Lord your God. Now, what you don't get by starting at verse 19, I want to fill in. The children of Israel have crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. God parted the way, and they went across. Now, leading them were the priests, four priests holding the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. And they stepped into the water. The water parted. They got out in the middle of the Jordan, and they stayed there holding the Ark as the people of Israel all filed by, keeping their distance as they looked at the Ark, which represented conquering the impossible, keeping your eye focused on God. Now, when they had all clean passed over, God gave Joshua this instruction. God says, I want you to get 12 men, one from each of the tribes of Israel. And I want you to go back down into the river where the feet of the priest had stood. And I want each man to take a stone. I picture it being a pretty good sized stone. These guys must have been pretty strong. They picked up one of these rocks and they carried it out from the riverbed of the Jordan. And then they lugged it about 25, 30 miles all the way to Gilgal. That's why I said these guys must have been pretty buff to carry a big rock that distance. And so 12 men from each tribe pick up a rock, carry it off, and then they made a monument or a memorial in Gilgal. Joshua took 12 stones. He doesn't record the Lord telling him to do this, but he took 12 stones, and Joshua himself piled them up in the Jordan where the priest had stood. Now the water would come back over and cover those 12 stones. I think there's significance there. And then there would be the 12 stones piled up in Gilgal. Now, the question that we need to ask is, why would God, once he did this miracle, getting them through the Jordan, they need to go conquer the city of Jericho. Why would God say, get a bunch of rocks and pile them up? Here's the answer. God wanted them to remember the miracle. God wanted them to remember what they had done. Why? Because you know as well as I do how easily we forget, right? And the older you get, the more you forget. And we just have a natural kind of ability to just forget the past, forget God's blessing, forget God's goodness, forget God's deliverance, and we freak out about what's going on right now. The God who did deliver us is delivering us right now, and he will yet deliver us. Amen? But we forget that. And often we are freaking out when we're in a battle and we forget. Have you forgotten that God delivered you last week or last month or last year or 10 years ago or 30 years ago, how God worked in your life? You go, oh yeah, I forgot about that. The God who has delivered is delivering and shall yet deliver us. But in this passage, we find some practical connecting points on why the memorial stones. We find, first of all, in verse 21 to 23, that the parents were to instruct their children from these memorial stones. Notice in verse 21, and he spake unto your children, speak to your children, excuse me, of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in the future, time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you should say to your children, verse 22, saying that Israel came over the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were clean gone over. So this is what would happen. The kids would say, Mom, Dad, why those big pile of 12 stones? And Dad would say, well, sit down, son. I want to tell you about it. Years ago, when we came through this Jordan, we came into the promised land, God parted the waters. and we miraculously passed over. God made a way through the Red Sea, and God parted the Jordan for us. And you can see their little eyes get big and like, wow, that's awesome. And they would share with their children, and I believe their grandchildren. What a joy to have grandchildren and to be able to share with them the great acts and mighty works of God. What God has done in the past. Do you know that Christianity is only one generation from extinction? Only one generation. Your children may not follow the Lord if you do not communicate to them the great things that God has done in your life. It's a parent's responsibility. I'm so glad that I was raised in a Christian home. My mom and dad met in Bible college. They were Christians before they married. Raised in the church, Sunday school, youth group, raised in the church. There was a period of time when I rebelled against that, but the Lord saved me and brought me back. But I believe that I'm here today because of the influence of my parents. I can't tell you all the stories that my dad taught me or told me as a little boy. Now, I'm at the Bible, but out of his own life, when he went into the war, World War II, and he was stationed in the Aleutian Islands, and he was aboard a ship, and how God protected him and watched over him and took care of him. And I loved growing up to hear those stories, and then how he would call upon the Lord, and the Lord would deliver him, and the Lord would be with him. And he used to always tell me, John, you never need to be afraid. God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. John, you can always trust in God. John, you can always put your faith in God. God will never let you down. And as a young boy, I grew up watching my parents trust God and believe in God. And I saw the miracles in their lives. And it just made an impression on me indelibly. If you're a parent, you need to be able to have memorials with your children and communicate to them, this is what God did for me. This is how God protected me. This is God, how God watched over me, how God delivered me and saved me. So as parents, we need to communicate that and our testimony to our children. I've heard of people that make a scrapbook, and they'll sit down with their kids or their grandkids and show them pictures and say, yeah, the Lord really came through here. You know, we needed help or healing or we needed provision. God provided for us, and God did this for us, and God did that for us. And just that those little minds and hearts would soak up what God has done. Let us not forget. Yes, God has worked in your life, but don't you want him to work in your children's life? Don't you want your children and your children's children to have the same experience with God that you did? So we need to impart that to them. They need to communicate that to them. They're also, to pile up these stones, verse 24, to remember God's power. Notice in verse 24 that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is what? Mighty. That the hand of Jehovah, Yahweh, that it is mighty, that God has power, that God can deliver. My mother used to keep a little blouse. I have a younger sister, two younger sisters, but my youngest sister was laying in the front yard one time at the neighbor's, a few houses down the street. She's laying in the grass or playing in the grass. And the people that lived there were backing out of the driveway. For some reason, they pulled off the driveway into the yard, didn't see her laying there, and ran right over her with a car. And she was about 10 years old, 10, 11 years old, and the tire mark went right across her blouse. And evidently pushed her into the grass. The car passed over. Not a scratch, not a broken bone, nothing. And my mother kept that blouse for years and would show it to us. See how God took care of you? See how God saved you? That was her pile of stones. Do you have a pile of stones? When I was 17, I was driving in my Ford Econoline van. I wish I had that sucker back. 66 Ford Econoline panel van. You know, it was a surfer wagon. It was really cool. And in the back, all I had was a mattress thrown in the back. And the shotgun seat was a 7-Up box, a wooden 7-Up box with a pillow on it. Seat belts, what are those? We don't have seat belts. We don't think about seat belts. And we're headed south down the 5, just a little past the San Onofre power plant. We're on our way to have a surf trip for the week, you know, and I'm driving my bus or my van with a friend riding shotgun and two friends in the back on the mattress. And unbeknownst to us, a big, giant diesel truck was coming behind us, tried to change lanes, couldn't change lanes, jumped back in, and clipped the rear end of my van. And it went over on its side and started to tumble and roll and rolled about four times off the freeway. Well, what happened, this is amazing, is the back doors were blown off the hinges. When it hit the van, it thrust forward, the back doors blew off, and the mattress flew out the back with all my friends on it. You talk about magic carpet ride. They're like, whoa, groovy, dude, you know. It landed on the freeway. And they're like looking around like, what happened, what happened? They get up and they see the van down the street up on its side. I'm still in the van. I held on the steering wheel. I just actually held on to the steering wheel. No seatbelts. I went upside down about three times. I saw the windshield break out. When it landed on the right side, I stood on the shotgun door and walked out the windshield of this van. And I'm like, whoa, what happened? I didn't even know what hit us. God saved my life. Amen. I have a picture. I should have brought it today for the screen. I have an old black and white picture of that view, all crunched and mangled up. I thought, I hung on to that thing and went upside down and walked away without a scratch. I actually believe to this day that God was saying to me, John, I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. And I share that with my kids. I show them the picture. Check out Grandpa's van that got all messed up. How God saved my life. A few years ago, I was in Los Angeles and was kidnapped. Not everybody has that experience. I had that experience. I was kidnapped at gunpoint. And they carjacked us, held guns to our heads, threatened to kill us. And God obviously delivered me. I'm here today to tell about it. Amen. And I have all these monuments. I love to tell the stories to my kids and to my grandkids. And they know, hey, God's hand is on our dad and God can take care of us. And when times I pray for my kids as they're out driving on the highway, my grandkids, I say, Lord, you took care of me. You watched over me. You protected me. Now protect my children. And Lord, may they come to know your power and your ability to deliver. And even the world, the heathens around us can see the hand of God on our lives. That you may know God's power. And then notice at the end of verse 24, a third reason for the pile of stones, that you might fear the Lord your God forever, that you might know his mighty power and fear him forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. So you want to be able to pass that on to future generations. Now, we as Christians and in the church today, we have two memorials. We have two memorials. One of them is water baptism. It is a pile of stones. It is a memorial. And people will say, why are you baptizing people? I love public baptisms. And this is what I want to do here at Revival. We got to set up a public baptism. We got to go to the beach, and we got to baptize in the ocean. We're going to throw you off the end of the pier. If you make it back, you're saved. I'm just kidding. We can stand on the pier. That one's saved. That one didn't make it. That one didn't. But anytime I've done a public baptism on the beach, people always come up and inquire, what are you doing? Why are you dunking those people in the ocean? What's going on? And we share the gospel, and people have always gotten saved that are just sitting on the beach watching what's going on. It's a memorial. It's a testimony of the great things that God has done for us. And baptism is an outward showing of an inward work, that we buried the old man and we're risen again with Christ. The second memorial that we have is communion. And we're going to do this Wednesday night, by the way. And did you know that Jesus commanded us that we need to remember him? Don't forget, remember that I died for you on the cross. And when you hold that bread and you drink that cup, it is a remembrance. It's a memorial service. And I love to be gathering with the saints and to remember simply God's love and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ who died on the cross. And you need to remember that. One of the reasons why you need to be at a communion service is to remember. We so easily forget. Did you forget that he that died for you is he that's going to keep you and he that's going to protect you and he that's going to watch over you? Have you forgotten that Jesus shed his blood for you? How much more will he provide for you and take care of you? So we need to remember God's past faithfulness. I love that old hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I've needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." But what you want is your kids. I want my kids, I want my grandkids to know how good God has been to me. So build those memorial. Maybe make a scrapbook, maybe put them on Christmas ornaments, put them on the tree, and at Christmas time when the whole family's gathered together, talk about the things that God has done for you in the past. But there's a second thing that we need to do as we face battles, not to remember God's past deliverance, but secondly, we need to reaffirm our present consecration to God. God has made a covenant with us in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we need to reaffirm that consecration, that commitment, that covenant with God. Now go with me to chapter 5 and notice in verses 1 and 2. "It came to pass that when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, when they heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel, until they were passed over, in their hearts they melted, neither was there any spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel." Now jump with me down to verse 8. It says in verse 8 of chapter 5, "It came to pass that when they had done circumcising all of the people that they had in their places in the camp, until they were whole." So they abode in their places until they were well. And then verse 9, "The Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from before you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day," which means a rolling away. And so the children of Israel, verse 10, "they encamped in Gilgal. They kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at evening in the place in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow the next day after the Passover, and leavened cakes, parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna," verse 12, "stopped on the next day after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." Now, the verse 1 of chapter 5 tells us that all of the Canaanites and the Amorites, they were filled with fear, knowing that God, the Lord, Jehovah, the God of Israel, parted the waters for children of Israel. For those critics that think that this was a natural occurrence, I point that out. Even the heathens recognize this was a divine miracle of God. The God of Israel parted the waters and brought them through. And their hearts melted and they were filled with fear. Now, the first thing God tells Joshua to do is that before the sword of combat, there's the sharp knife of circumcision. And I want you to notice it in verse 2, "The Lord said unto Joshua, make thee a sharp knife and circumcise again the children of Israel a second time." What is happening here? Remember when they came out of Egypt? For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness and they didn't enter into the land. And all that were 40 years and older, the older generation, all died off. Now that they're in the land, only two, Joshua and Caleb, were slaves in Egypt. And while they were in the wilderness, the entire younger generation had not been circumcised.
Every one of us is facing a battle. They come and they go throughout our lives. And God wants us to be prepared for those battles. When we are readying for battle, it's good to first remember God's past faithfulness. Does he ever let us down? Of course not. Why did God want the Israelites to pile up these stones? It was so they would remember the miracles that God had performed in the past, and that they would share God's marvelous works with their children and the next generation. Both of these memorials were to serve as a continuous reminder of the greatness of God. Our text says, "For the Lord your God dried up the river, so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God forever." You know, if you've been blessed by Pastor Miller's teaching today, we invite you to stop by and visit our online store. Like they say, it's open 24/7, all right? Here you can browse through resources we've specifically produced to encourage folks in their walk with the Lord. You'll find DVD, CD, and MP3 resources, along with several books written by Pastor John Miller. So stop by, check it out. Lots of resource there. Visit us today at revival.tv/store. revival.tv/store. Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. We trust that this program is a blessing in your life, and we hope that you can join us next time. Don't miss an episode. Until then, may each of us continue to preach the word, be ready in season and out, and be watchful in all things, fulfilling the ministry of God's kingdom. God bless.